your Bible, please, and turn over to the book of Mark. The book of Mark in chapter 10. And for those of you who are guests with us today, we've actually been in the book of Mark for quite some time, studying through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, the life of Jesus Christ as recorded in the book of Mark. And so we are in chapter 10, and we will be looking this morning at verses 46 to 52 as our text. And I'll go ahead and begin reading there in verses 46 to 52 and then give you some couple of introductory type statements, and then we'll get to the message here. The Bible says in verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." You know, they say that there is none so blind as he who will not see. There is none so blind as he who refuses to see. And I suppose that's true because there's a lot of people walking around in this world whose eyes work just fine, yet they cannot see that the way that they're living their life is only going to lead them to eternal damnation. And in this story here, we're presented with a man who was absolutely blind. Bartimaeus could not see with the eyes that God had given to him. He could see nothing at all. And yet, he actually could see or understand some spiritual things on a spiritual level that many others could not comprehend. Those who had eyes to see with still could not see and comprehend. And this man was physically blind, but he had 20/20 vision. And that is the title of the message, Bartimaeus, a blind man with 20/20 vision. And I want to just start with this morning. Even as I look out across this congregation this morning, I'm reminded again of the truth that not everyone who came in here today can see spiritually. Oh, maybe your eyes work just fine. You didn't have to rely on a white cane, you know, or a seeing eye dog or somebody to lead you around by the hand this morning. However, there are some among us here today who simply cannot see. You might see the world around you. You might see the people in front of you, but you still haven't seen the truth of God's love for you. Why? The reason is because you're spiritually blind. And this morning, I intend from this passage here to help us to see that Jesus Christ is who we really need. And if we take a close examination of the Scriptures, it's going to reveal the prescription for spiritual blindness. And all I ask of you this morning, if you're here this morning and you're listening and you want to be here this morning, all I ask of you is that you allow the Lord the opportunity to speak to your heart. But when He does, you respond. So I want you to join in with me for just these few minutes as we look together at this blind man, Bartimaeus. First of all, I want you to notice with me in verse 46, his pitiful condition. His pitiful condition. The Bible says there, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." First of all, we see his pitiful condition. Why was he in such a pitiful condition? Well, the Bible says that he was blind. And apparently this condition had been with him since he was born. Now, blindness in those days was not actually uncommon. Because of disease and uncleanliness and other things like that, sanitary conditions maybe not being the greatest at times, blindness actually wasn't that uncommon. But his condition was such that not only was he blind, he was also a beggar. Because of his blindness, he probably could not work a job. He probably could not earn some sort of a living. You know, there was no welfare state for him to rely on. And so what did he have to do to survive? He had to sit by the highway side begging for people to give him some sort of a handout just so that he could live and survive. What a pitiful condition to be living in. This was his life. Bartimaeus was totally dependent upon the generosity of others in order to survive. What a wretched condition. You can imagine he was dirty. You can imagine he was filthy. You could imagine that he certainly couldn't see himself. He couldn't see his appearance. Whatever he had received in the way of clothing and so on, he probably received from other people. And he just sat there by the wayside as people would walk by and the horses and the carriages and the dust would fly. Here's this poor blind beggar just trying to survive. But let me make this application. This picture that we've just created of this man's condition is actually a great portrait of every person who is outside of Jesus Christ. And what I mean when I say outside of Jesus Christ, a picture of every person who's never been saved, who've never repented of their sin and trusted in Jesus Christ. We are poor, we are blind, and we are beggars outside of Jesus Christ. We're lost in our sin. And like Bartimaeus, the lost person, the person who's never been saved, is actually spiritually blind. Look with me in the scriptures here as we turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hold your place here in Mark and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to note with me this verse and even some wording inside of this verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, let's go back to verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," that's Satan, by the way, he's the God of this world, "hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." He says if someone's lost, if someone's not saved, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And when the light of the glorious gospel shines in, all of a sudden there's ability to see. All of a sudden there's ability to understand. How is it when you're in a dark room? You know, you walk into a room and let's say maybe you come from outside, for example, and you walk into a room that's all the lights are off. It's pitch black, isn't it? You can't see. You can't see where you're going. Maybe it's an unfamiliar room. You've never been there before. What would your tendency be to do? Well, your tendency would be to just stand still and try to get acclimated maybe, but you can't feel your way around. You can't see. You don't know where you're going. You're lost inside of that darkness. And spiritually, it's the same way. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. They can't see their own spiritual condition. They cannot see how wretched and miserable they really are. Oh, we see fine with our eyes, but because of that spiritual blindness, we cannot see the condition that we are in, like this blind beggar named Bartimaeus. You know, the word blinded here in verse 4, "the God of this world hath blinded the minds," that word means to obscure. It means to hide. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Ephesians 4:18 says, having the understanding darkened, that's the same word that we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that means to obscure, to hide. He says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now note this, he says the understanding, the ability to understand is hidden. It's darkened, all right? It's obscured. It's hidden. Why? He goes on to say, it's through the ignorance that is in them, and it's because. Why is the understanding darkened? Because of the blindness of their heart. You know what that word blindness means there? It means callousness. It means stupidity. It means hardness. Why is the understanding darkened? Why cannot we see our spiritual condition, our condition before God? It's because of the blindness of our heart. It's the callousness of our heart. It's the hardness of our own sinful heart that keeps a person from acknowledging the truth of God, that I'm lost, that I'm wicked, that I'm blind, that I'm spiritually dead. Most people think of themselves as a good person. Oh, I'm a good person. You know, I don't commit crimes. I've never been in jail. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do any of these things. I don't live promiscuously. I'm a good person. And that is the blindness that we're talking about right there. Because the Bible says there's no one that's good. No, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in God's eyes, we are nothing but wretched, blind beggars. Are you with me? That's not always easy to hear, is it? Nobody wants to hear themselves as being blind and wretched and miserable. What? How dare you talk to me like that? That's the blindness, the callousness of the heart. And just so you know, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm simply telling you what God has said in His Word about all of us. That there's none of us that are good. That we're all in this same condition. This pitiful condition of being sinners before God. People are blind to their condition. They're blind to their sin. They're blind to their impending eternal doom. And only Jesus Christ can open up the eyes. Listen, how is it that a person can make light of sin? How does one make light of sin? Like it's no big deal. In our culture today, you know, the mantra is, if it feels good, do it. And, a promiscuous lifestyle, shacking up, living with somebody you're not married to, you know, doing all kinds of other things. It's just immorality on every hand, and it's made light of in our culture as if it's not a big deal. How does a person make light of sin when God is a holy God and a just God who will judge sin? How do we do that? How does one ignore that they're condemned before God? How does one sit through a message like this, message after message after message, not understanding, listen, that you could draw your very last breath and head off into eternity? Condemned. How does a person ignore that? It's because of the blindness of our heart. That's how a person can make light of sin. That's how a person can ignore the truth of God before Christ and the light of the gospel. That's who we all are. Blind. Beggars. In a pitiful condition. So here's this blind man who's sitting beside the road, and he actually becomes a great picture of the condition of every man. Well, let's look a little farther in this text here. The Word of God speaks expressly about the fact that we are sinners, that we are poor, we are wretched, we are blind, and we are naked, spiritually speaking. Well, we read on in this passage here, and we look in verses 47 to 49. So here's Bartimaeus, who's blind. He's sitting by the highway side begging. He's nothing in society. He's dirty. He's filthy. In verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." The thing that I want you to note here is not only his pitiful condition, but I want you to notice his persistent cry. Here is Bartimaeus' persistent cry. Even though Bartimaeus was blind, he was able to see and understand some things that others all around him who had vision, who had sight, could not see. In these verses, Bartimaeus proved that even though he was blind, he actually had some real vision to him. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, he saw and recognized exactly who Jesus was. Note this here. He saw and recognized exactly who Jesus was. In verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David." Note what he calls him here. "Thou Son of David." You know what that means? That is a very significant statement of itself. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 9. Hold your place here again. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And we see in verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 9, here's a prophecy concerning the Messiah, the promised one, the one whom God would send, who would be the Savior of the world. But note in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Note here the promised Messiah, the coming one, he would be of the line of David. He says, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it forever. Now in these days, calling somebody, you know, the son of so-and-so wasn't necessarily meaning that they were like the direct, you know, blood descendant of, or, you know, immediate son of that person. It was a family line. It was a lineage. So the Son of David is a specific term, and it's in short, let me say this, this title, the Son of David, was the declaration that he was the promised Messiah, that he was God himself. That is what this man was saying. When he said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me," he was saying, "You're the promised one, you're the Messiah, you are God." Here's what I mean when I say he could see things that other people could not. He recognized who Jesus was. Apparently, Bartimaeus had heard about the miracles performed by Jesus. You know, he must have heard that the lepers were cleansed and the lame had been made to walk again, that the demons had been cast out, and even that the dead that Jesus had touched had been raised to life again. He had no doubt heard all of these things. And so as he sat by the highway side begging here, he hears these travelers as they're coming by, and he hears them talking one to another, and he heard that Jesus was coming by, and he knew who this man was, and he knew that if he could do this for others, he could do it for me too. Let me make this application. This understanding of recognizing who Jesus is the first step in coming to a place of salvation. A person needs to recognize who he really is. That he is God. That he is a just God who demands repentance. He's a just God who will judge every sin. That means he will judge my sin and your sin. We need to understand and know who Jesus is. And really, to know that what he's done in the lives of other people, he can do for you too. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to be. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need to repent of your sin. You need to fall in humility before God, because you're condemned before God. But what he has done for other people, he can do for you too. What he has done for me, he can do for you. Listen, when we accept what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ, when we come to that place of understanding, we can be certain that then we can be saved. You know what the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 9? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Unless we have the right understanding of who Jesus is, we cannot be saved. He's God. He will judge sin, but he made a way for you, and he made a way for me to be saved so that we don't have to face that condemnation. And the Bible teaches very clearly that there is no other way of salvation. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the Bible says in Acts. Not only, we're looking at his persistent cry here, not only did he recognize who Jesus was, but he also realized this very important fact. He realized what Jesus could do. He realized who he was, but he realized what he could do. Bartimaeus exercised faith in Jesus Christ. And did you know that faith is the key ingredient to receive anything from God? Bartimaeus knew what Jesus could do, and he exercised that faith in Christ. And it's the key ingredient to receive anything from the Lord. Look at it. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 with me in verse 6. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6 that without faith, I'll wait for you to get there. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is the key ingredient to receive anything from the Lord. And when it comes to the issue of salvation, faith is still the key ingredient. Ephesians chapter 2, turn over there with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Bartimaeus could never have been healed and given his sight if he did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe who he was and what he could do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, for by grace are ye saved through what? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That means we can't work our way to heaven. A lot of people think that they're good people. And here's how people think most often. Well, you know, someday I know that I'm going to die. And someday, you know, I want to go to heaven, and I hope that I'm going to go to heaven. And I've tried to be a good person. I've tried to live a good life. And so I know that one day I'm going to die, and then one day I'm going to stand before God. And God is going to have this divine scale where he weighs all the good things that I've done against all the bad things that I've done. And hopefully I'll have more good than I'll have bad. And then that will merit me eternity in heaven. That's a big lie. Exactly. It's a lie of the devil. Because the Bible says that all of our righteousnesses, all the things that we think are good about us, all the good works that we would do, are nothing more than filthy rags in God's eyes. What I'm saying is the Bible teaches us there's nothing good that we can do. For by grace are you saved, through faith. and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. The only way you'll ever see heaven, my friend, is if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And you realize that you're a poor and a wretched and a blind beggar who needs forgiveness. I'm going to get to this in a minute, but the words that Bartimaeus uses toward Jesus are the very, very words and the heartfelt expression that we need to have before God in order to be saved. Faith is the key ingredient to receive anything from God. And, you know, beyond that, this poor blind man saw things that most of the people who were in that multitude never saw. In fact, he saw some things that some of this in this room right here this morning need to start to see. What did he see? What was it that blind Bartimaeus was able to see? Well, first of all, he was able to see that this was the greatest opportunity that he ever had in his life. Here he is sitting by the wayside begging with nothing. He hears that Jesus is coming. He realizes and recognizes exactly who Jesus is. And he understands that this is the greatest moment of his life right now. For years, he's been in this condition. For years, he's been helpless and hopeless with nothing. And as Jesus passes by, it dawns on him, Hey, if this Jesus is who he claimed to be, then this is the greatest, most important day and opportunity of my life. He's going to pass right by. And so, when he realized that, he began to cry out. And what did he say? He said, "Lord, have mercy on me!" Bartimaeus, even though he was blind, was able to see that the opportunity that he had was the best opportunity he could ever have, and it was staring him right in the face. And there were so many other people in that multitude who could see with their eyes, but they couldn't understand this great opportunity in front of them. Let me make this application. There's some in this room this morning that need to see that today may well be the greatest opportunity that you've ever had in your life. You've got the opportunity this morning to come to Jesus Christ and be forever saved and forgiven, to be saved by His grace. If you ignore that opportunity and you choose to go on in your life and go on in your sin, there's nothing in front of you except eternal condemnation in the lake of fire, hell, forever tormented. And the Bible says, look with me in 2 Corinthians. We're close by if you're in Ephesians still. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 2. It says, "For he saith, I have heard thee, in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." What I'm saying to you, friend, is that God is giving you an opportunity to receive His truth and receive His grace and be saved. Today, He is trying to shine the light of the gospel into your dark life so that you can be saved. But if you choose to ignore that, if you choose to go on in your sin, you need to realize something else. Recognize this. Not only is this the greatest opportunity that you've ever had, but also recognize this, that this opportunity could easily pass you by. Bartimaeus took that opportunity and he cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." Could he do anything for himself? No. And what he needed was mercy. And here was his opportunity to find it. And so he took that opportunity because he realized that this opportunity could easily pass him by. What if he just sat there by the wayside that day? What if he just kind of said, well, I don't know, you know. Probably no hope for me. Or, I really like my dirty, filthy condition, actually. I think I'll stay here for a while. And what if he never said anything? Jesus would have kept on walking down that road, and his opportunity to be saved and healed would have passed him by. You with me? Do you understand? He may have been blind, but he could see that unless he did something about this situation, he was doomed to a life of misery. And every lost person in this world, and if there is a lost person in this room today, you need to understand that Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. And he will if you'll come to him today. However, he will not force himself into your life. And if you don't respond to him, then you can never be saved. He doesn't make anybody do anything. He presents himself, I've paid for your sin. I love you. You will die and you in your sin and you will spend eternity in the lake of fire, but you don't have to. You need to choose to respond to the light that God is giving. How many have I seen in the ministry who sit through services like this even under deep conviction? They know they need to be saved. They know that they're sinners. They know that this is true. And they experience that conviction, but they put it off. And tomorrow comes, and Satan steals away that work of God again. And that's a pattern in their life. They keep pushing it off and pushing it off. You know, there's an example of one in the Bible who did that. Look with me in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And look with me at verse 24. We can go back to, verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So here's a ruler who comes and he sends for Paul, who's in a prison of sorts, and he wants him to come and speak with him. And he says he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Here was a man who heard the truth of Jesus Christ, how he could be saved. He was convicted in his heart that this is real, this is true, this is what I need. But he didn't respond right. He said, "Go thy way for now, and when I'm ready, I'll call for thee." But you know what? We don't ever read that convenient season ever came. I would like to think and hope that Felix saw clearly and was saved, but the Bible never records that he was. What it does record is that he let the opportunity that he had pass him by. Blind Bartimaeus did not do that. He recognized his chance. He recognized his opportunity. And I want you to look back in Mark chapter 10 and verse 48. Note the challenges here to his faith. So in verse 47, he hears that it's Jesus. He begins to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." But look at verse 48. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Here he repeated his cry. Here were those who tried, "Hey, Bartimaeus, be quiet, be quiet. You're not important." And he said, "No, nothing's going to stop me from getting to Jesus." And he cried the more. My friend, there's nothing and no one that is worth going to hell over. Situations and circumstances and people may try to stand in your way, keep you from coming to Christ, but you should allow nothing to keep you away from the Lord, who loves you, who wants to save you. Well, his persistence led to a response, verse 49. And Jesus stood still. I love that phrase. Here is Jesus Christ, Almighty God, who people hustling and bustling all around him. Here's a worthless, poor, blind beggar who's crying out, "Have mercy on me!" And Jesus stops and stands still. Here's the value of just one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood still and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." When Jesus heard Bartimaeus cry, he stopped in his tracks and he called for him to come to him. What was Jesus doing here? Jesus was honoring his faith. Jesus was responding in kind to the faith that he was exhibiting. His faith was honored and he received an audience with God himself. What a glorious moment this must have been for him. But what a glorious moment it was. If you're saved here this morning, what a glorious moment it was when Jesus Christ reached down from heaven and he pulled you up out of a pit of sin and disgust and mire, and he set your feet upon a rock and he saved your soul. What a glorious moment. May I say this to you this morning? Each and every one, but mainly to lost people. Today, Jesus Christ is not too busy to hear your cry either. He's not too busy to overlook your life. And there's nothing that you've done, nothing that you could be, that is too great for him. His grace is greater than all of our sin. Jesus Christ proved his love for you and for me. In fact, there's nothing and no one in the universe more important to God than you. And he proved that when he climbed up Calvary's hill and was nailed to a cross and he gave his life, shed his blood so that we could have forgiveness of sins. I want you to note very quickly with me, and I'll be finished here in just a moment. I want you to note the personal cost to Bartimaeus in verse 50. Note his personal cost. We saw here that he had a pitiful condition. We saw his persistent cry. But I want you to note his personal cost. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. According to this verse here, when Jesus called Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus got up to go, and the Bible says that he cast away his garment. That means he threw it aside. That was his outer coat that he would wear. He threw it aside and jumped up to go to Jesus. I would think that this garment of his would have been very valuable to him personally. He's a blind man. He's a beggar. He doesn't have anything. You know, his possessions he probably would have held on pretty tight to. But the Bible says that he cast aside his garment, probably the most valuable thing to him, and he got up to go to Jesus. He must have known that somebody easily could have picked that up, somebody easily could have kicked it aside, and that he would never find it again. But in this, it becomes a great illustration. It becomes a great picture. This coat of Bartimaeus could represent the old life of every person who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying is, anyone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be willing to cast off the former life and leave it in repentance. Be willing to leave that life of sin behind and let Jesus Christ make you brand new. It's the idea that, you know what? I know who I am, that I'm a sinner before God. I don't like who I am. I don't like this person I've become. I can't fix this person. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm condemned. And what I need is for God to make me brand new. I want to be done with who I am. Lord, I'm yours. Be willing to leave that old life. Cast it off. You know, if there is something about this life that you hold on to, that you're not willing to let go of and give up, you can't be saved. Because that's not genuine repentance. That's not a submissive, willing, humble, repentant heart before God. The repentant heart says, Lord, there's nothing about me that I like or that I care about. You can have it. I want to be done with it. Make me new. We note this to be the personal cost of everyone who comes to the Lord Jesus. Now, salvation is free. It doesn't cost us anything where we have to pay for our salvation. But it does cost us something in the fact that we need to be willing to leave the old life behind and give it up. You with me? That heart attitude of Bartimaeus led to verses 51 and 52. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Here we see his powerful cure. Here is the cure. When Bartimaeus came to Jesus, he asked this very important question, or he was asked a very important question. What do you want me to do to you, Bartimaeus? His response was one of pure faith. He trusted that Jesus Christ was the one who could make him whole. And then the impossible happened. The blind man received his sight, and he was restored to wholeness immediately at the word of Jesus. What a great picture this is. Because this is exactly what happens when the lost person responds to the gospel of grace. Immediately, when faith is exercised in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I know there's no other way to be saved. You're the only one who paid for my sin. Your blood is the only one that can wash away my sin. I don't want to be this person anymore. I want to be made new. Lord, would you save me? When faith is exercised, immediately, the impossible happens. The power of God moves in, and that person's life is made brand new. We're saved immediately, instantly, completely, and eternally, once for all. You know what? In this day of religion and self-righteousness, it's important to point these things out. People are trying to work their way to heaven and trying to be good and all of these things. We need to remember that salvation only comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're trusting anything other than Jesus Christ for your salvation, if you're putting your hope of seeing heaven in anything other than Jesus Christ, you're going to be in for a rude awakening when you leave this world. Because the Bible teaches us very clearly that it's Jesus Christ or nothing. We see in verse 52 that as soon as he got saved, this is great, he followed Jesus in the way. Here he was, blind and a beggar, sitting by the side of the road. Now he's received his sight. And what does he do? Immediately he starts to follow Jesus. Oh, this is a great picture as well. And it simply reminds us that when salvation comes into a life, there's going to be a desire for the things of God. Before you're saved, you don't have a desire for the things of God. Before you're saved, you love this world and you love your flesh and you love sin. But when Jesus Christ comes in, he makes you brand new, and all of a sudden you got new desires and new want-tos, and I have a new desire to, above everything else, please God. That's what happens when you get saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 teaches that when you're in Christ, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your desires, your want-tos, your way of thinking, it all changes when God makes you new. This is actually a mark of real salvation. If there doesn't appear to be a change in your life, you say, oh, I'm saved. I love God. Yep. I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. But it doesn't appear to be a change in your life or appear to be much spiritual life there at all, then there probably isn't. Let me close with this. One day, a Christian and a communist were sitting on a park bench watching the world go by. And as they watched, a poor, drunken beggar walked by dressed in rags. The communist pointed to the beggar and he said, "Communism would put a new suit on that man." To which the Christian responded, "Maybe so, but Jesus Christ can put a new man in that suit." Let me tell you this. We don't need to turn over a new leaf. We don't need to get religion. We don't need to try to make a bunch of worthless changes and New Year's resolutions and all of those things. We don't need that. What we need is to be born again. We need Jesus Christ to make us brand new. You know what? You can't stop sinning. You can't stop living this life that you live. You can't stop bringing the consequences of sin upon your life. You can't stop by yourself. You need Jesus Christ to make you brand new. That's what you need. I want to say to you in closing, God is giving an opportunity to respond. It's the greatest day of your life. But that opportunity can pass you by if you don't respond to Him. I also want to say to you, those of you who are already saved, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been born again. There are far too many Christians, saints of God, who are walking around like blind beggars. Oh, you've been saved, you've been born again, but you've kind of gone back to letting your flesh have control. You're not experiencing the blessings of God. You're not experiencing the joy of salvation. You're walking around like a blind beggar because you've got your focus all messed up and your priorities all messed up. Trying to pursue after the things of this world and trying to pursue after, you know, wealth and riches and a good retirement and what I can heap to myself to make myself happy only leads to being a beggar spiritually. You don't have to do that. Same God who saved your soul can forgive that sinful heart attitude and restore it and bring back the joy of salvation. If you're saved, you're not supposed to live like that. You're not supposed to live like a sinner, like the world. And if there are things in your life that need to be made right with the Lord, you need to come to Him and make it right today. Jesus is passing by today. What will you do with Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great illustration this story is. This blind man, completely hopeless, unable to do anything for himself, recognized his opportunity, and he cried out to God in mercy. Father, I pray for those this morning without Jesus Christ, that they would understand and recognize their opportunity today and cry out to God in mercy. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Father, have your will and way in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.